Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of the greatest pleasures I've had in doing this work, and frankly, it's been nothing but pleasures for me, but one of the greatest pleasures has been getting to know Carol and Mikey Morgan. Sometimes it turns out that people that we never knew in life are our very, very best friends. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and Carol Morgan has been our guest before, so some of you may know her story, but we're going to share it with you briefly again here, and then we're going to talk about Mikey's wonderful, extraordinary new book, which is due out on October 1st. Welcome, Carol. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Roberta. It's very nice to be on your show again.
Mikey's story, we'll tell it just briefly because I really want to concentrate on talking about the book. But Mikey Morgan, I think, is unique in human history. Mikey is a sixth level being. The sixth level is a very, very exalted level. People who are there have long since stopped incarnating. Mikey had last been in a body in the 1600s, and they're teachers. They're people who are very, very elevated. And Mikey, however, is so full of love for us that he wanted to be able to teach us here. And the only way he could do it really was to get to know what it's like to be in a body again and what it's like to be in the 21st century. So beautiful Mikey chose to take a brief Earth lifetime. He was born in 1987. He died in 2007 by design. And since then, he has convinced his mother that this was all part of a plan. And take it from there, Carol.
Well, Mikey was just an average child. I have two boys, Mikey and Joey. They're 4 years apart. The brothers always got along very well. We did things together and really enjoyed ourselves. Mikey ended up having a strong desire to take on a different sport after he didn't make the basketball team in high school. And he took up snowboarding, which he became very good at very quickly. And that interest drew him out to the Colorado Rocky Mountains, where he ended up going to college out there at Colorado State University. When he was out there, he was in the business school there working on marketing. He was also a DJ at the local restaurant establishment that was popular with the kids, and he would play songs that had messages, and he was very into that as well. And in between his, I guess it was at the beginning now, of his junior year it was, he was on a camping trip up in the Rocky Mountains with several friends from school. And it was really a fluke accident where they were in a SUV rollover accident on a mountain trail. They weren't going very fast. But Mikey was killed instantly. He was in the vehicle with four other friends, and they had just minor injuries. And this, of course, was very traumatic for everybody involved.
Let's pause and just appreciate what's going on here in truth. This is something, of course, that Carol and her wonderful husband and other son could not have known, but this was his last planned exit point. He said at one point that he could have left sooner, but he was having too much fun here. But we all plan into our lives. We write a life plan, and we plan two or three exit points we can take when our higher consciousness decides we've done what we can do with this lifetime. So he was here to learn about us. And it was very important to him to leave early enough so that he and Carol would have lots of time to teach. But you knew none of this at the time, right? This was a tragedy beyond imagination for you, even though later we came to understand it was supposed to happen.
It was a terrible tragedy, and it was pain beyond pain. But the signs and dreams that started were just really profound. And it wasn't just with me. It was with other family and friends as well. And with that, we knew he was close. We really felt that he was trying to communicate with us. And that gave us such strength in the real profound grief that we were experiencing.
Mikey's book, and whose idea was the book? I don't even remember. Was it his idea?
He always wanted me to, he kept telling me, you know, Mom, we have to get this message out. We have to, we're supposed to teach through the veil. And, you know, I thought he was kind of crazy with this whole thing. And that's what, that's how I kind of got introduced to you. You know, that was a whole coordinated, you know, synchronicity at its finest.
I loved reading about how I was chosen, and I was chosen for this work too. But Mikey's guides, Mikey got you to go to a conference, and his guides apparently were casing the room, and he was casing the room and looking at everybody else's guides, and they chose me because the guides kind of got together. We all have this, where each of us is a walking crowd. I've said this. And when we're out anywhere, our guides are talking to other people's guides. So his team and he talked to my team, and I was chosen to do this. I just find that both funny and astonishing and also kind of amazing. I mean, don't you? It's as if none of us, we're all part of this enormous play, and we really are not aware of the things that are going around us at all.
Well, I've come to the conclusion that nothing is a coincidence with what's all gone on here. So, but I, you know, that day I asked him to help me meet somebody with who could help me do what he wanted me to do, which is, you know, what I'm doing now, being on radio shows and being on the forum, answering questions. And now, of course, the book, because he just really wants his message known.
So then I said, I'll help you with a book. I mean, books are just my life. I love to write. And that turned out to be a process, though, because how do you do this? How do you encapsulate the experience of someone like him? I mean, what astonished me as I started to get to, and I didn't believe any of this in the beginning. When I met Carol and I met her at a conference as having been chosen by Mikey and liked her, but she was a woman in deep grief. And she said she could communicate with him by pendulum, which I didn't believe was possible. So I went to her room with her and watched it happen and got my nose right down there next to the swinging pendulum. And nobody is that good an actress. As soon as she was communicating with him, this woman who had been almost on the edge of tears the whole time I'd known her was smiling, was laughing. He was swinging the pendulum, which is what he does for laughter. And they were having fun. I mean, believe me, that was my, I was floored by that, Carol, the fact that it was such a vivid experience for someone watching it happen. So that's where it began, right? I mean, you very quickly learned how to communicate with him, and then you started hearing his voice in your mind.
That's correct. So I learned this technique through Sally Baldwin, who was a spiritual medium here on Earth. She has since passed into spirit, but she told me I had this ability. She told me Mikey was of high energy, and that, you know, that this was going to work for us. And watching it, of course, the first time, I thought, this is unbelievable. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Right.
I practiced literally every day. I was very, very dedicated to this, working hard with Mikey. And as I progressed in, well, really both of our ability of how we connected, I now can hear him telepathically as the pendulum moves, and I can communicate now much quicker than I used to. However, even the book, I mean, I really, really worked hard on the book to be sure to confirm that everything he was telling me was exactly how he wanted it written.
It's his book, 100%. The only thing, my only role really was to tell you we needed information. And then when you sent me the first batch, I said, let's figure out how we can make a book. Okay, here's a rough shape, or here's all the other stuff I need you to ask him so we could fill it in. But that's kind of how it was assembled over several months. You worked very hard with him to get him to answer all the, I know I was a nuisance a lot of the time with so many questions, but it became a very readable, enjoyable, I think, beautiful book. And the words are Mikey's. It's all Mikey's. Even after it was written, Carol, you went back to him and you went over the whole book with him, and he tweaked a few things. It's entirely as if he had written it, which I love. I love that fact.
It's definitely his voice. It's his expressions. It is him. It is totally him. I can honestly say I could not make up the material in that book, even if I tried. I was raised strict Catholic, and what is in that book is just so beyond and profound. It is really, it's a fascinating read, I think.
Oh, it is. Test readers have told us that they couldn't put it down. People who are very knowledgeable in this field have told me that. So I think that for people even who are fairly advanced in their understanding, I mean, just to put this in perspective, we have communicated with very few sixth level beings, or arguably sixth level, we're not even sure in some cases, but very elevated beings. They generally talk because they haven't been on Earth for hundreds of years, they haven't communicated in a language for hundreds of years. They sound strange to us. And here you have somebody who talks like a 20-year-old, who even thinks like a 20-year-old. I mean, he made snowboarding the centerpiece of his book, which blows my mind. But he became very, very sort of entranced with snowboarding. And when he discovered the mountains in the afterlife are much better than the mountains here, it blew him away. And he just hits snowboarding is all through the book. But the thing about this book is that I've watched him answer hundreds of questions on afterlifeforums.com, where I'm a moderator. I've watched very carefully because I want to make sure he doesn't mislead anyone, or at least I don't really watch him that way anymore. But in the beginning, I really did. 3 or 4 years ago, I was being careful, knowing Carol didn't know much. I have never seen him make a mistake. And not only can I say that, but he often will speak beautifully and perfectly on some topic, and then he'll add a tweak or two, which is something I'd maybe suspected or could have imagined was additional facts about something. But it's new information for me. I am blown away by that. So I long since came to accept, Carol, that Mikey is exactly who he claims to be. This is all genuine and real, which is why I'm happy and honored to have my name on the book. I did help put it together. I sort of midwifed the book, but it's all his words. And he talks like a 20-year-old, but he talks about what it's like on the sixth level. I have never read a communication from a sixth level being who even told us what it was like there. Until I met Mikey, I thought it was mostly not material even. We were just past the point of needing materiality. And he says, oh, no, no, it is full of universities on the sixth level, which I think, and quite beautiful universities too. His descriptions are so vivid of what it's actually like. I mean, weren't you astonished by that, Carol?
I was astonished by a lot of this, actually, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
You know, very early on in our communication, Mikey told me he was on the sixth plane. Well, I had no idea what the heck he was talking
right.
about. And so he said, you know, Mom, it's just a category or a section of many, you know, aspects or dimensions. But this realm, this category, he says, is the teaching realm. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I just rolled it off and didn't think much of it. And then when I was on the forum, I believe somebody on there, I don't think it was you, somebody else, another member asked, well, where does Mikey reside? And I said, well, he tells me he's on the sixth plane, but I really don't know what that means. And of course, with many of the questions, I would say, well, this is what Mikey tells me. I have no way to know. I mean, this is the information I'm getting, and I couldn't make this up if I tried.
Right.
And the consistencies, of course, with what the experts have noticed and all of that has helped build my confidence because, of course, I've never heard of many of this type of thing before because of my upbringing.
Yeah. I can't sufficiently stress the fact that everything in that book is consistent with what we have learned. I mean, I've spent decades trying to figure out the stuff, which just having met Mikey and trusted him, I could have learned from him without, and I could have done a lot more different stuff with my life instead of just studying the afterlife. That's astonishing to me. I mean, one of the first things he talks about when he arrives there, and he does talk about what it's like to die. Just let me pause and if you've had someone die in an accident, reading Mikey's account of his own death, I think is very comforting. He shot out of the car through the roof. And this is what they commonly say if they're going to die in a crash. I wasn't even in my body when it happened. He shot out of the roof, and then his body shot out of the roof as well. Apparently the skylight broke, or the sunroof broke, and landed on the ground. But he was fine, and he was floating in the air, a little bit confused, but there's a sort of endorphin thing that happens to us when we're first out of our body, so he wasn't alarmed. He didn't know yet, though, what really was going on until the beings started to appear around him, comforting him. They looked familiar, but he still couldn't remember who they were or why, and they just gently took him away, and he was fine, and he was happy. But he was worried, of course, about his friends who were very upset to find him having been killed instantly. But he talks then about his arrival in the afterlife and some of the first things that really surprised him. And he then began to realize, you know, I've done this before. And we gradually see dawning on his mind what's going on. And then he emerges with his superconscious. Now, I know this happens, but I've not read an account of someone going through it. Suddenly, he has huge, expanded thinking ability. Suddenly he has access to all these memories, all this huge history of someone who has lived so many lifetimes. And it happens, you know, immediately, sort of, very soon after he's there. It just happens in a finger snap. All of that is just wonderful to read. Also, what's wonderful to read, Carol, is he talks about people and going by, how happy they are, how busy they are. And a lot of them are in weird vehicles. Didn't you find that amusing? They're flying. They're using these little flying saucers. They're riding, you know, weird cars. It's just very interesting.
He says that what he saw was, well, he said you can move about by walking, just by thought, by, you know, riding a bike, floating through the air. But he says there's no exhaust. You know, he says there's airplanes. Yes. Pollution free. He says there's no exhaust or anything, but there's an energy. You can tell that, you know, they're moving about, obviously, but it's such an ease of movement, and there's not exhaust or, you know, I don't think my understanding is there's not like the noise of a car running or anything, but what people enjoy here, you can experience there. It can be manifested. And he always says, you know, likes attract likes, and people, you know, group together to enjoy things that they enjoyed here on Earth. It was really quite fascinating.
It was, but little details too. For example, one of the, most of the communications I read in my core research were received before 1950. And the people, most of the sort of the heyday of communication was the early part of the 20th century. People who had died very end of the 19th, first couple of decades of the 20th centuries. And I got to see in Mikey's book that things have kind of evolved there. It appears in those sort of early decades of the 20th century, people who arrived in the afterlife mostly pretty quickly started to wear spirit robes. Now, spirit robes are, they look like angel robes. They're like a tunic to the floor, long sleeves and belted. It's sort of, think of the way angels dress. Think of the way Jesus dresses, that kind of outfit. And so I thought, okay. And they said once in a while you could see someone dressed in period, you know, clothing. But what Mikey says is they, in the Summerland levels, they wear what we think of as civilian clothes, whatever they like. He still dresses as a snowboarder or as a college kid. except when he goes to the sixth level, and there he wears his spirit robes. Now, that's new information, and I think it's very, very interesting, don't you?
Very much so. But, you know, as I always thought, that as I when I was younger, and even before all this happened to me, that we would look just like we looked here, you know, when we went back to heaven. Well, Mikey says, yeah, you know, when we come now to greet our loved ones, we absolutely resonate our energy to look just like we looked. You know, usually we are looking in prime form. You know, we're not full of wrinkles or gray hair or whatever.
Prime of life. Right.
Right. But he said that gives comfort to our loved ones who are about to transition because we recognize these loving souls that are there to guide us back to the afterlife.
Totally.
So it gives comfort.
Yeah. Well, the other little things he talks about. One of the things I love, and we'll talk about this later a little bit, is that he's agreed to answer questions. I mean, I have so many more questions to ask him myself, but so will other people after they've read his book. Most of the time when you have a book from someone who we think of as dead, that person can't chat with us. But Mikey, if you got a question, he's willing to answer it, which is really what he sees as a purpose of the whole rest of his mother's life. And I just love that. But one of the little things he talks about, which I want to know more about, is that you sort of can go to 1950s land or 1980s land or whatever you think of as a time in history that you want to re-experience, including apparently back when people used horses for transportation. There are places you just resonate your energy with that spot and you can go and relive that period, where the clothing, do the activities, just relive that period of history. Isn't that fascinating? I had not heard of that.
That is very, to me, that is just so cool. And he used the term of that concept worlds or concept places. He said where, again, likes attract likes, and they want to enjoy these times of what they experienced here. And it absolutely can be manifested there. And so it's a group of souls that do this. And of course, these groups are very large and that's what they do. So you can have experience these different eras of time. And, you know, I mean, and of course, the music even can be of that time. It's just very, it sounds pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, and the music is fun to even mention. One of the things we've learned is that people who have performed here will very often perform there. Or if you've never performed here, then you still get to perform and you still have an audience. But Elvis especially is still performing, and you can apparently see early Elvis, later Elvis, old plump Elvis, whoever you want to hear and see, it performs. And of course, we know Mikey was a big John Denver fan. He loved the Rockies and he loved that music. And so Mikey says right in his book that he has gone to see Elvis perform, and he actually met John Denver, which again is fun information. It's kind of exciting to think about. That is what we all have to look forward to. Let me just pause briefly and remind everyone that this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. And of course, my books are The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch. And we're in the second part of our little visit here. Carol's going to talk about some of the ways in which Mikey stays in touch, which are really beautiful. You can learn more about my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest today is Carol Morgan. Carol and Mikey are two of my very, very dearest friends. I feel so close to Mikey. I got a sign from him yesterday, which warms my heart. He's a very advanced being. He studies in exalted universities, and he also puts on his Oakley sunglasses, which are unnecessary, of course, there, but he does it for effect, and he snowboards. And just his descriptions of snowboarding are really amazing to me. I don't know anything about snowboarding, but he uses all the jargon. His book is called Flying High in Spirit, A Young Snowboarder's Account of His Ride Through Heaven. And if you see the cover of the book, it's a snowboarder in a beautiful sort of sunset or sunrise, and he's flying. He's literally in the air and flying. It looks to me almost like the cover that you would see on a video game or something, very much geared toward his age group. But again, flying high in spirit, a young snowboarder's account of his ride through heaven. And now we're going to talk in a little bit more detail, first about what it means to be a sixth level being, and then about the signs, because I think people need to hear just the wonderful things he does for his mother. Carol, has he told you anything about how he got to be? He's so modest, he probably hasn't, about how he got to be a sixth level being.
He really, you know, I haven't asked him in detail about it. He has said to me through his experiences, you know, he has worked hard to learn about the aspects of love and different things like that with interactions with others. And in the dimension where he is, of course, he goes to the middle the middle levels that are sometimes called the summer lands, which is levels or the planes 3 through 5. He talks about that through his teachings and, you know, trying to do the examples and to show, you know, others of how to try to be and how to plan things and work through things is how he's advanced. And he says everybody is on a different journey. You know, everyone is kind of working on their ways through things. There's many ways for us to advance ourselves. But the most important thing, he says, is love. It really is simply the golden rule to treat others as you want to be treated. And that is whether we're in here on Earth or in other dimensions or places as well.
What we've come to learn from the dead is exactly the same thing that we learn if we read the Gospels. We are on earth to learn to be perfect, to love perfectly, to forgive completely. And perfection is, of course, the standard. Now, you don't hit that the first time around. Mikey has had many lifetimes, as have we all. And each time we're trying, sort of like going to the gym, we're strengthening a different set of spiritual muscles by having bad things happen or stressful things happen. You've got to get on that machine and work those spiritual muscles, or you don't make any progress at all. Being in the afterlife levels until you get to a fairly high level is just being on a spiritual couch. So that's why we're here, and that's what we're here for. Now, there are at least 7 primary levels of the afterlife. Curiously, Mikey says he doesn't experience them as level. He just experiences them as places. But your energy resonates with one of those levels. And you can go to that level or below, but you can't go higher. Now, the lowest 2 levels are what Jesus called the outer darkness. Above that, levels 3 through 5 are where nearly all of us are. Beautiful, earth-like, much more gorgeous, though, than we can imagine the earth ever being. And Mikey says that that's where the mountains are, where he snowboards, in those middle levels. And he can, of course, lower his vibration and go there. But he has so refined himself spiritually, has become so loving, so close to perfect, that he can be comfortable mid-sixth level. Now, that's a real accomplishment. This is somebody who, let's see, how do we even compare it to achievement here? I mean, someone who's received a Nobel Prize and an Academy Award and also goodness knows what else. This is about as close as you can imagine ever getting to where we're all ultimately going to go, which is level 7. That level 7 is what we would think of as the vibratory center of the source or the Godhead. So this is a big deal. That Mikey has made this kind of progress is a big deal. You'll notice I said he last lived in the mid-1600s. What happens, according to Mikey, and this is one of the questions I asked him, when do we stop incarnating? Because nobody wants to ever come back. When we're here, we don't. When we're there, of course, we do. And he said that there's a hunger to keep coming back. And when he said it's very, he couldn't really say when that hunger would lessen and we wouldn't have to keep. But he finally, when I pinned him down, said about toward the upper part of the 5th level, We don't feel the need as strongly to come back. And what happens then is we're advanced enough spiritually that we can start being a spirit guide for other people. We can teach. We can help others as an alternative to our own experiencing these things. And that, to me, that was very interesting information. I didn't know when it was that we were likely to be able to stop incarnating, but that's pretty high. So again, this kid is a fount of very important information. I just can't begin to tell you how exciting it is that someone put himself through what he did. It's a lot of trouble to come back and have a lifetime.
But right. Go ahead.
Carol, you never had any suspicion there was anything unusual about him? I know you had some nervousness about him because he had illnesses as a child, right?
I did. I always, after, when he was about, 10, 11 months old, he had the rotavirus and he was very, very sick. And we got him to the hospital in time, but they said much longer at home, he would have died. At that point, we were I always had a fear that something was going to happen to him. You know, from that point on, I worried about him. One thing I want to say too, Roberta, regarding coming here, it is a choice. You know, we choose to incarnate. Mikey says when we get to the afterlife or heaven, we get the picture. We understand why we come here, of course. And then when we get here, it's like, oh, brother, why did we come here? But he said the other thing, too, that we need to understand is, you know, even Mikey, you know, he was a regular kid pretty much. I mean, he said none of us are perfect in human form. And I always would say to people, even Jesus got mad in the temple and was throwing tables around. You know, did you hear that story?
And never been on his bad side, I would say.
Right. I mean, so we're not perfect. But Mikey was an interesting child. When we look back at things now, I mean, he was really wise. He could read people well. It was amazing how he could forgive. He had some incidences through his high school years where he really had ability to forgive people. But he also was able to take a step back if the individuals weren't being loving or kind, or if they just were going kind of down a different path, he would just kind of, you know, choose a different one. He would alter his course and hang with other people that he felt more comfortable with or that were interested in his interests and stuff. So, but he really could read people. That would be one of the things I would say. But overall, he was a typical college kid.
I understand that that's how he seems to you, and I can see that in the book, but it's extraordinary for someone as young as he to be as you say, wise as he, as loving, as sort of balanced emotionally as he seems always to have been. I mean, he's a gift of a kid, never gave you a minute's trouble, just a beautiful person. And people loved him too, right? He attracted friends. Everyone wanted to be around him.
Everybody loved Mikey. And as a DJ, well, he'd wear his baseball cap and he had the most awesome auburn hair that would curl out from underneath that hat. And his song selection, of course, he would pick songs that were popular of that day. But he was very focused on a couple songs, one being Love Generation by Bob Sinclair. And the message of that song was, you know, peace, love, and unity to everybody you meet. Look to the rainbows and you'll see the sun will shine to eternity. And after the fact, and we started communicating with the pendulum, Mikey said, I was trying to lay down a foundation for my age group that would be acceptable to them, giving them a message versus like trying to push a Bible or, you know, he was giving them an important message in a way that they would accept was really what he was doing as a DJ.
Yeah, and he talks a little bit about Jesus. I have a book, which I'll be talking about next week, coming out, you know, now as well, called Liberating Jesus. And what I found really gratifying, and no, I didn't, this is nothing I did. He says all the same stuff I say. He just says it in fewer words. I think it's time clearly for us to start following the teachings of Jesus as we never have before. But he says that as well. His book is not just for young people, but I think it will resonate with young people. That's who he is. That's how he talks. But it's full of wisdom far above the years that he had when he left us. He answers questions. He talks about things in a very balanced, sort of beautifully wise way. It's difficult really to express who he is, but I think it comes through so well in the book. And I give you so much credit, Carol. I mean, to think you received this whole thing with telepathy and a pendulum, that's quite remarkable.
It was quite time consuming.
Yes,
because,
I'm sure.
You know, working with the pendulum is slower than like talking on a phone or whatever, though I feel like I'm talking on a phone when I'm using the pendulum with him, because I do hear him fluently as I do it. I'm very focused on what I am doing as I carry on his work. It is fascinating, and I think the book is very human, and that's what I like about it. And he's told me, Mom, I'm trying to keep everything as simple as I can for you so I don't overwhelm you. And, you know, I have to laugh because sometimes he'll say, now, Mom, settle down.
Yes.
Settle down, Mom. This is how it is. And so I think that'll be very comforting to many people because it's explained quite simple. And I think it's easy to understand what actually happens when we leave the earth.
Yeah, it is a great explanation of how it feels to die and what happens in the, you know, early period after we've died. And he talks eloquently about how he could feel your pain when you were being told of the accident and how desperate he was to comfort his family. So he started giving you signs. Tell us about some of the things he did.
Well, literally, I've got some concrete objects that he has been able to have a heart show up on the object, whether it's a coffee cup where the coffee stains in the shape of a perfect heart, or baby formula in my godson's baby bottle that he has named after Mikey. And so he hands hands the bottle back to his mother, and there's a perfect shaped heart inside the bottle, made of formula.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
Yes, there's been some really profound things. Of course, music is huge for him. Honestly, it's almost every day where I always talk to Mikey out loud. And I will tell people, talk out loud to your loved ones. They do hear you. I will talk out loud. Literally, I get into his truck, turn on the truck, and the song that's playing, you know, gives you the message or the answer to your question, or it's one of his favorite songs. But the timing, he'll put thoughts in your head before these things happen. And the reason why they can do this is because they're in a timeless dimension and we are under the laws and restraints of time. And so that gives them the ability to plug things in at the perfect timing here.
Yeah, he is a sort of a virtuoso. He talks about a spectacular sign that he gave to his family. Everyone's at your house grieving. They're trying to get over the shock of this. So he and some of his powerful sixth-level friends decide to give you a show. And first they make it rain on a day when it was supposed to have no rain at all. And then they use that moisture to make a rainbow. And when everyone goes running outside to see the rainbow, he makes, was it geese?
Three geese.
Their headed right through it. Isn't that spectacular?
It was a double rainbow. To this day, I've never seen two rainbows, both of them brilliant colors from end to end. And I mean, there was probably 35, 40 people standing in our front yard. And as we're all standing there going, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. These three geese, and they're big, fly just above all of our heads and through the center of the rainbow. It was the most powerful sign. And everybody looked at each other and said, holy cow, that's got to be him, you know? And it was.
And it was. Yeah, he confirmed that. He thought it was a real giggle that he could wow you that way.
Combined efforts with spiritual beings. They can do some amazing things in our dimension.
And one of the things he's doing now is helping newly arrived spirits who aren't as expert as he has become, helping them deliver signs to their own loved ones on Earth to comfort them. So even if you're thinking, oh, you know, my dad who died recently, he couldn't have done any of that stuff. Well, there are people like Mikey who will work with your father if he wants to give signs to help him do things you yourself will recognize, which is why, as you say, Carol, it's so important to talk to those that we've recently, we thought, lost, who have just recently died, to talk to them. And to say, you know, if you want to show me something, I promise you, I will, even if I'm not sure if that's from you, I will. My favorite song on the radio, A Flock of Butterflies, A Rainbow, whatever it is, I promise you, I'll acknowledge it. And let them know you'll welcome a sign, because there are people like Mikey who have the power to make those signs happen.
Absolutely. Our loving connections never end. And what people need to understand is really how close the afterlife or heavenly dimensions are. They are literally all around us. They are, while we're at, everything's really pretty much in the same place. It's all about how we are vibrating. Everything is energy. But we are really close to our loved ones. They are not gone. We will see them again. And understanding that the afterlife or heaven isn't way beyond the clouds, that it's actually all around us.
It's right here. Yes.
It's right here. What we experience and what we notice, boy, I tell you, take that to the bank, because that opens the door to even more communication that you can get.
Yeah, I think the thing that strikes me most about Mikey's book is that it's so full of happiness, love, joy. It's just... It leaves a powerful emotional sort of impact on you that stays with you. You think of him as this really good friend of yours because he's a 20-year-old kid. That was very wise of him to decide to speak to us in our own idiom. But it makes it everybody that I have shared it with has been really rocked by the book, by the message, but also by the atmosphere of it, the personality that Mikey shows in his book.
I feel the book should give comfort to so many grieving, bereaved people. It's written in such a friendly, young boy or young man voice. And it's just, I think there should be great comfort that will come from this. And I'm hoping that it will make others open up their heart a little bit and to try to release and work through their grief that sometimes has negative emotions that pulls our vibration down, where it'll help them to hopefully connect with their loved ones as well, because truly they love us still. They try to help us on our journey here. And when we talk to them, I mean, they hear us, and that's important for everybody to know.
Some people have said to me, but I don't want them knowing all the stuff I'm thinking. I don't necessarily like the idea that they can put thoughts into our heads. And I've just come to accept that what we used to think, which was, you know, was private, was our thoughts. Our thoughts really aren't private in the same way. Our consciousness is open to consciousness, right? Has he talked to you about that?
It is, but this is what he's told me. Do you remember, you know, the show Charlie Brown? And when they never show Charlie Brown's mom, but the mom is like, wah, wah, wah,
right,
wah.
Right, yeah.
Her
right.
voice. So he said, when your mind is wandering off and in all kinds of crazy thought, you know, when you're just doing your thing and randomly and you're going through your regular routine, he says, I'm not paying attention to that. We don't care about the white noise. What they connect with is when we're deep in thought and when we're, you know, more concentrating, and you know what I mean? So there's more, it's more of a true telepathic connection. But he said, honestly, Mom, I'm not listening to your every thought of everything you do. I'm doing my thing too. And some of it is just white noise to me, you know? And so I think that's kind of how you can think about it. We still have some privacy of our thoughts in that regard. But, you know, they're not interested in a lot of the earthly you know, mishmash that we think about here. I mean, they're more, they, the connection is more into the deeper, true essence of us. And when we really need them in that concentration, that that's when the connection really happens, is my understanding.
Yeah, I think that's a very good explanation, Carol. I mean, remember, when you're in your body, you have access to only a tiny part of your eternal consciousness or mind. And Mikey's book beautifully shows the difference. He's a clueless kid. What the? Are you telling me I'm in heaven? I was just there with my friends. How did I get here? A clueless kid. And then suddenly, he has access again to his whole mind. This happens to all of us. Now, we're not sixth level beings. Maybe we don't have as much access to a level of understanding as Mikey would have, but that happens to all of us. Most of our mind is just not accessible while we're in a body. There's a deliberate amnesia that sets in, and it's part of a deal we make, basically, that we'll forget what happened before our births. But also, our meat brain very much limits our ability to access our mind. So I think it's kind of comforting to know that they don't blame us for the fact that we have stupid thoughts here, because we've got just a little kind of puny mind to think with.
That is correct. And Mikey tells me that he describes this merging of where we are reconnected with our full knowledge as merging with our higher self. And the simple way he says to think about this is that we have a suitcase of knowledge that we leave in heaven or the afterlife when we come here for our experiences. And when we leave here, when we transition back home or to heaven, the afterlife, we bring the knowledge we've gained from this life experience and add it and merge with all the knowledge we've gained from all of our experiences through all of our lifetimes and through our experiences we've had in the afterlife and other dimensions as well. So he feels that's the easiest way to understand it.
Carol, what is there one thing you want, or two, that you want people to really especially take away from learning more about Mikey's life and his mission?
Mikey wants everybody to know how important it is for us just to be nice, to be loving to one another, to not judge one another, to treat others as you would want to be treated. He said, really, that's what this is all about. There's a huge effort from many spiritual beings in the afterlife that are trying from all angles to increase awareness here. They call it the spiritual shift, where people learn to understand that love is what is important. And what we do here does make a difference. There's a reason we're here, and we can progress ourselves spiritually and make the earth a much nicer place to be if we would just learn to treat others with kindness. It's really simple.
And that's a beautiful message, and that's a universal message. And I think Jesus would agree with him, wouldn't he?
He would. Mikey says it's what Jesus taught that brings salvation in regards to spiritual growth.
Perfect. Well, that's wonderful. Mikey has a website. We're working to get it going. I'm not certain if it's going to be up as you're hearing this, but it'll be up soon. It's MikeyMorgan.com, and which I was thrilled we were able to get. And Mikey will answer questions. This makes Carol a little nervous in case there are too many questions, but I've promised to help with that. And she will ask Mikey, and the answers will be all his, just so the book is all his. I think that he is such a priceless resource for everybody, not just for perhaps you and me who might have a little question or two, but I have a feeling that serious researchers are going to start working with Mikey because he can answer questions that I don't know that any other being communicating with us has been able to answer quite so well. So I'm excited about his book, Flying High in Spirit, a young snowboarder's account of his ride through heaven. And Mikey would love to hear from you if you decide you really would like to kind of know some things about where he is and what he's doing. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Always remember, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that fact, it is going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. Just search there for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books, of course, are The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch, and you'll find details about all my books and my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest next week is going to be your host. My own book, Liberating Jesus, also is out on October 1st, and writing this book has been the most extraordinary experience of my life. I now believe it's the reason why I was born. And next week, I'm going to share the story of liberating Jesus with you, who I think of as my dear friends. Please join me. This is going to be the most personal podcast that I ever will give to you. This week, we've been speaking with Carol Morgan. She swears she never signed up for this, of course, but her wonderful son, Mikey, is a sixth-level being who last was in a body in the 1600s. He wanted to be able to understand us so he could communicate with us. So he took this brief Earth lifetime that ended in 2007 when he was only 20. Looks like a tragedy, doesn't it, from our side? From his side, it was a great learning experience. Now, I mean, he learned two things. He learned about people now, and he also learned how to snowboard. And I'm not sure, Carol, which was more important to him at this point. He's having so much fun with snowboarding in the afterlife.
He's having a great time, that's for sure.
Mikey is a unique opportunity for you to communicate with a person in spirit who is so advanced that he is near the source. He has nearly achieved reunion with God. Go to MikeyMorgan.com and see what he has to say. This opportunity for you to communicate with Mikey is a wonderful chance for you to do what I keep saying every week now we really need to do, is to finally better understand once and for all and forevermore who you really are. Meanwhile, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.